Welcome back to the RDG Show, starring your hosts, Rick, a.k.a. Ricky Bobby, and Dynamite David, with Sir Grinch, and guest starring Jonathan Castaneda. Jonathan is the owner of United Automotive Repair Center, located in Culver City. His auto shop offers high-quality automotive services at a fair price. For more information on these services, please visit www.unitedautorc.com. That's www.unitedautorc.com. The RDG Show is pre-recorded and is available on all audio platforms. Check out the links in the description. If you are new to the channel, make sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment below. Also, don't forget to click on the notification button so you don't miss any of our videos. Now, enjoy the show.
I'm like a big techie person, so when I want something, I'm the opposite. I'll take like a whole week just to
kind of research it.
Research everything about it. I'm like, I'm going through all the like,
that's true,
the unboxing therapy and
every single NKHD, video on the internet. Yeah. Because it makes a lot of sense to do all that kind of review stuff.
Yeah, like, because it's a big purchase.
Yeah, like I think of it as like an investment. Like if you buy like this phone, this Note 9, I've had it since it came out. And
weren't those like
the ones that were blowing up?
Blow up, yeah.
Yeah, the previous model, right after they fixed it, like literally 8 months
later. You've been walking around with a bomb this whole time?
Yes, I've been walking around with a bomb this whole time.
I had the Note 8, the one that was blowing up.
Please ignore the three-letter agencies listening in on us. Yeah, no. So, and I
work like an
auto. No, right? Just his whole pocket just ignites. Yeah, no. I feel the same way. Like I don't just buy. Well, I used to care a lot about how something is made because, for example, like you said, buy a laptop right before. No. I mean, like this. My laptop is from 2015.
Yeah,
it still works fine. But
yeah, I think we have the same laptop.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it literally came out at the tail end of 2015. So I bought it.
It seems spring. Like you get everything bigger.
I know, right? Yeah, because he's telling me he's like he wants the speakers on the side.
I mean, in the military, you don't have a lot of space.
That's interesting because
like if I don't have a TV, I want a big screen to watch all my movies.
That's a good point.
You would think, I got everything.
That's how I watch all the Game of Thrones. And actually, you know, subconsciously, that's actually true because my HP. This is probably the smallest computer I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. That's
the other one was like huge, but that was the reason why. Because I was like, if that's the only thing I have like to carry around when we would go somewhere, like I want to be able to have a big screen so I can see things.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's funny because a lot of the military guys that I know, besides you guys, have everything that's big.
Oh, you know a plethora?
Only a couple. But yeah, like all of them have like big computers, big cars, you know, they want to have the biggest thing to say that when in reality they usually have really small peepees. I'm actually a very big impulse buyer. I just do my best not to buy things. When it comes to impulse buying, groceries. If I go to Costco, I'll just pick up everything that I can bring home with me.
Yeah.
What do they say? Don't
go on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And then anything you see, you want it.
And it's so nice because at Costco they've got everything in bulk and for cheap too. So it's like going to Ralph's. You see like a bottle of like kombucha like for $6, but then you go to Kirkland. I mean, you go to Costco and you see the big box for like $12. It's like, whoa, they're each $4.
No, it's really cheap.
Yeah, it is really cheap.
That's what we. I mean, I don't really like kombucha, but
it's. Yeah. I think it's a gimmick.
But you know what's. I was reading into their strategy not too long ago. The reason they put the TVs and all of that like expensive stuff in the front, it's like people are like, I'm not gonna buy a TV when I come here, but they have all that expensive stuff in the front, so when you keep on shopping, everything else seems like really cheap and you end up buying more.
Interesting. That is
it's like a psychological
thing. Yeah, that's what they do. They set up all these things
because so you can get a whole bunch for the same amount that you would have spent if it was a TV. So it's like, wow, that's like $1,000 whatever when I can buy all this stuff for $1,000.
Mm-hmm. 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 That's interesting. I wouldn't never have thought that because when I walk in to a Costco and I see all the TVs and stuff, my mind immediately is like, oh, I wonder if I can get like a cheaper thing here rather than go to like a Best Buy. Because Costco, other than going for food, they really do have good deals on everything, on a bunch of stuff. That pillow I got at Costco, which is the last one, the long body pillow one, literally, I saw it and I saw another family looking at you. Ever had that ever happen to you guys when you're at a market or like
you're
a place?
Fighting for it and it's like the last one?
Or and you see someone else know that they're gonna go for it and you're like talking to yourself, you're like, fuck, I should probably grab it or something before they like take it. That happened to me when I was buying luggage for my sabbatical. I went to Ross and they have tons of selection at the Ross. I went to the one right here by the Target and I see like three that I really like. And then I see this man and his daughter come by and he's like looking at them. And then he grabs the exact same ones I grabbed because I wanted to see what else they had. I don't want to just grab something without looking around. And I hear him get on the phone. He's like, oh, we're going to check and see if mommy wants these. I'm like, oh, motherfucker, she's not going to want them. And luckily, though,
I didn't know what mommy wanted and didn't want.
Shit. It was funny because he did end up grabbing two of the three that I liked. And the last one that I grabbed, which luckily was a good one because I've never bought luggage before, so I'm not really aware of like what's appropriate luggage, right? Like, I don't understand why people buy like luggage that has no protective covering, like the hard shell ones. Do you get what I'm saying? Like,
I think they're more expensive. That's why a lot of people
is that
buy.
What that is? Okay,
because they're a lot more expensive.
I have no idea what expensive luggage is like because the one at the Ross, everything is cheap, right? No, relatively speaking.
Even then, it's still kind of expensive. You're
I've
buying
seen
like,
your luggage. I know you don't know what expensive.
I don't know what expensive luggage is because the luggage was like half off, right? So it was like $100-something luggage. I bought it for $60, right?
Which is really good. Which is, usually it's like $100 even at Ross.
Yeah. Expensive. And I was so surprised. I was like, fuck, I would love to just take an extra one just for the fuck of owning
honestly,
one.
Honestly, though, right now is probably the best time to buy luggage because that's probably why they're on sale because no one's
traveling. Oh, because nobody's going anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I thought to myself, like, I would think that nobody's traveling. But when I was at the Ross, I saw like five different groups of people all like, oh, which one should we get?
Well, it's the same thing as like when we... recently that I was at LAX. Not for me, I'm not traveling anywhere. But there was one country in particular that was like the line was huge for it. And I thought, who the fuck is traveling at this time?
You would think like less people are showing up, which is you do see it. If you go to LAX, it's empty. Like empty. Like relatively speaking, it's all it's one of the biggest, compared to what it usually is.
Is it nice to go like
to walk around?
not walk around, but I'm saying like, you know how you always wait in traffic and it takes like half an hour to go inside?
Oh, absolutely. There's, right now it's
nothing.
Clear. I've waited in like where I could have just walked and I saw people just walk there because you're just at a standstill in traffic.
Yeah, when you're getting into the
departure. Like a block literally right there from the gate. Right now it's just, it's almost like if you were getting on like the freeway. When it's empty.
Even though the
freeway came back up.
True. The 405 is back to normal, which is funny to me. And it's funny because like all this whole idea that we're not allowed to travel, like essentially, right? You would think it would scare a bunch of people, which I think it did because when I went to LAX, everybody seemed normal. Like nobody seemed to care about going anywhere. You know what I mean? Everybody's got masks on. Everybody is still acting like they do at an airport. Like, oh shit, I'm in a rush. I'm going to cut somebody's head off if I don't get it.
6 feet apart thing? That goes out the window.
Yes.
I think people are just tired of it.
You think? Is that what that is?
Yeah. No, but it's because it's after it becomes the whole normal thing. Like right now, wearing a mask is being normalized.
It's so normal. Like now when I watch a movie, I'm like, why aren't they wearing a mask?
That's funny you say that.
I really do. It's weird, right? And I'm watching, and I'm like, where's your mask? And then I picture and I was like, I'm watching a movie.
Yeah. Because we recently just watched, I don't know if you have, Wonder Woman.
Yeah, we did.
And I actually kind of thought the same thing. I was like, where's your mask? But then again, there's
takes place in the
so
past.
They should have better.
It takes place in 1984. Yeah.
So it's they didn't worry about those things. They worried more about what was it, parachute pants and fashion.
Oh yeah, and how well you look.
Which have you seen it? You haven't seen it, right? Seen it.
You don't have HBO Max, right?
I don't know.
It's not worth it.
Actually,
I think it's worth it right now, isn't it? Because all the movies are coming
out.
HBO
Max is, I think, overall is worth it because they
do
have stuff.
Right? How much is it? Like $9 a month?
It's 15.
Is it 15?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're acquiring some other, so like Netflix is letting go of things. So like, you know, I think like Friends have become unavailable in both, I think, Netflix.
Oh,
yeah,
it was on
Hulu.
Netflix, yes.
I want to get HBO just for the Fresh Prince.
What they're bringing over?
Yeah. So Friends is doing a reunion that HBO has, right? They're doing the Fresh Prince. Oh, they already did it.
Yeah, the reunion. I think it was like
I think they have it. The whole like Snyder cut of the Justice League.
The what?
The Justice League.
Like all the movies?
It's the Snyder
Justice League, right? But he's re-releasing it into 6 different episodes, each about an hour long. So the movie that came out, Justice League, with Batman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg.
Is it with the same actors?
Yeah, it's just, I guess, the over, like, they cut the movie, obviously, to be
2.5 hours long. But his...
Oh, but the movie was actually meant to be 6?
Well... It's almost like, you know what the Lord of the Rings did? No. Which, like, Lord of the Rings, like, one of the movies is, like,
fucking the three, uncut. Four.
Like, yeah, almost, like, 4 hours. Unedited
edition. Yeah. Yeah, like, the director was like, oh, this is really what I wanted the movie to look like. Like, nobody watched. That's, I understand now why movies are not any longer than 2 hours.
Yeah, because you get bored of. There was that movie that I really enjoyed on Netflix that came out, I think, last year.
It's a Netflix original?
Yeah, it was an Italian movie.
Italian movie? A Netflix original?
Oh, is it? It's not The Irishman.
Yeah, The Irishman.
Oh God, that movie was bad.
I enjoyed.
First of all,
I didn't like it.
That's a great movie.
I thought it was a good movie, but I never finished it.
Oh, you didn't finish it?
No, because I got an hour and a half in, and then I blanked out.
What was it, like three?
It's like 3.5 hours.
Yeah. I watch. So I can watch when it comes to movies that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. I can. I mean, like, Endgame. Come on, I'm not walking away from Endgame.
True.
But like that movie, I went right through. I think I took a break real quick. But then I just went right back into it. But that's really, yeah, it is. You can't really have movies that long because
especially
it
now, because people, they're very short term.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's We've seen it with our own videos. People just can't, you know,
make it past 10 minutes.
This is great material, and you guys are passing right by. But yeah, it's the attention span. Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Over stuff really quick. That's why this whole Instagram thing and all of those other things work, because it's like quick little
50. Yeah, it plays on our monkey brains, like with our thumbs. We're like constantly clicking up and down. I mean, it's true. Like,
I wouldn't say monkey brains. I would just say our brains.
Our nervous system. Like, yeah, it is. For me, I like watching a long movie that is good, right? Like, I could watch The Godfather, which is good.
Well, I mean, you look at, what, Star Wars? Right. Very long movies. Like the 4, the older 5, ones, and 6.
Yes. The original trilogy. They're somewhat long, yeah. And they're good, though. I was on Disney Plus yesterday. I was with your brother watching. We decided to start watching The Mandalorian. Now, that show is really good.
Really good.
But it's...
I've heard good things about
it. It's really, really good.
But I can't even binge shows.
Oh, you'll be able to binge
this one. That's how fast like my brain goes away.
Well, that's false, Johnny, because you love anime. And you can binge
no,
an anime.
But even then, if I start watching something, I'll watch like 4... Mm-hmm. Like at max 4 episodes, which is about 2 hours.
Kind of a binge,
an hour and a half.
No, yeah, it depends if they're like 20
minutes. They're like 20
minutes.
Okay, yeah.
If you're not considering commercials.
It's about an hour and a half, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you're
so
right.
So I'll watch that, and then I'll get bored, and I'm like, what else do I watch? I have to change it up to something else.
Really? That's odd.
That's why I'm always, when I watch shows, I always have like 3 or 4 shows that I'm always watching at the same time.
At the same time.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I don't like doing that, where you bounce between shows. I like to be able to, to sit through one.
I used to, like, Saturdays, used to watch all the, like, the lineup. Like, I had 3 shows that each premiere? One were releasing a new episode, and I would just sit and watch all 3 of them.
That's the thing I think I miss the most right now, because there's no new shows.
I know.
No, not only are there no new shows, but they're canceling a lot of, like, for some of my favorite ones, they're canceling. Yeah. Like, they already released that, and I'm just like, what am I going to watch? Like, I know, but I'm the opposite, so I like binging them. So like Queen's Gambit, I think we talked about that.
Yeah, it's such a good show.
Very, that one I watched it in that day.
In one day?
Oh yeah. I just went right through.
It took me a week.
No, and it's like 7 episodes, so that's about right.
Yeah.
Because they're long too. They're about an hour.
No, that's good. I do like the actress. What's her name? I should know her name. But
you should, because you said you like her.
I do like her a lot. The thing is that, like, she's always playing because she has the face.
She comes out in another Netflix original, right? That came out a couple years ago.
No.
It looks like her.
I don't know.
No, Anna Taylor-Joy. Anna Taylor-Joy, that's her name.
But I was seeing also, like, the directors or producers, whoever is in charge of this. But,
for Queen's Gambit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading into it. The reason, like, it looks so good is because they were focusing on her eyes. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's not an action movie.
Mm-hmm.
So what they were portraying was their eyes. So the intensity in their eyes kind of...
So you got to be a good eye actor.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, you got to be a good actor for everything.
The soul is in the eyes.
Yeah. And she has really, really nice eyes. I'm sure that's what they were doing when they were casting her.
They made
her
them look bigger, yeah. I mean, they always try to make them look bigger. And whenever there's like a big scene where she was going to like destroy the competition or like if they knew that it was over, like they went straight into her eyes. And it's like you could tell by her eyes that like she was going to win.
It's because I signed up for the 30-day free trial for Disney Plus.
Oh, so you're just running right through them?
Yeah, I was running right through all of them.
You got to.
Because, oh my God.
They really don't have. Is this Disney Plus doesn't have. Yeah.
Jesus Christ,
it's
so bad.
More, I mean, geared towards children, I would at least think.
They're going to add. This was an update.
Well, that's why they have the whole bundle.
Well, they're adding
Fox. Yes, because it's like, I thought it was also.
Hulu and ESPN.
Hulu and ESPN.
That's what it was.
Correct. And they're going to add the Fox section where they're going to have like R-rated content. For example, like The Simpsons is Fox. You've got Deadpool, who's Fox. He's not kid-friendly. He could be kid-friendly because he is that kind of character, right? Where he can show up anywhere, and he's, like, meta. He is aware that he's on television, that he's, like...
Well, it's going to be a Deadpool from another... What do they call him?
They're multiverse.
Multiverse, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, so it might be something like that, where they'll bring on all that stuff. And you said that Friends is going to HBO?
I know they have the reunion, right? But I don't know if the actual show will move to, like, okay. The, you know...
Because it's not on Netflix anymore, right?
No, they... I mean, they're losing...
They were on there a long time, and, yes. And they were going to cancel it, but people were, like, complaining or something.
I mean,
like,
I think...
How many times do they need to watch it?
They did the same thing, I think, with The Office. They were going to do it, I think, either earlier this year or last year, and I think people were just like, what are you doing?
How many times do you really need to watch a show?
People fall asleep.
The Office?
Any show.
You know any what? Show I can maybe agree with you, but The Office is iconic. That's I can watch that over. I mean, I just recently watched it again.
I could watch certain episodes, but I can't. I don't think I could do reruns and reruns.
Okay, Philadelphia, I could do that one. I could rewatch it from the beginning.
I could, yeah, but after years of not watching it, I'm not gonna okay. For me, it's Fresh Prince, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could rewatch it all.
That is good. That's a good show, though. Yeah,
but then I have to wait 2 years.
To go back.
So I forget everything. So
that's actually, I feel you. I
hadn't
watched
The Office, I think, in 3 years.
Well, okay,
before
that's
I started
point.
Again. Yeah. But I'm
not going to rewatch it all and then go right back to the first one.
Sunny is a whole different story, though.
Yeah.
Because none of the. So, The Office has a progressing storyline. So does, Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
Friends. Do
kind of
always Sunny in Philadelphia doesn't.
That's true, yeah.
Because it's
they make fun of other shows like that.
They jump around where you can watch one episode and you don't have to know their backstory.
Yeah.
The only thing
because they do a lot of improv. It's all improv.
Yeah, some of it is, but they do actually sit down and write a lot of whatever.
Yeah, they write it and then that's what I think is great. That's why we disagree with you talking about it's easy to just be an actor because. The actor sometimes feels what's better, and they will say it.
Yeah,
like in the Joker
and
movie.
Joaquin.
Try to explain that to him.
In Philadelphia,
the whole fridge scene was great, and he did that by himself.
Oh yeah, yeah. When he was
Which one was
when
that?
He was really
the
mad.
Fridge, did you see?
When he goes in the fridge,
he finds out that
that was improv.
Really?
Yeah.
That
was good.
He was just going crazy.
He was going crazy. He didn't know what to do. And then suddenly he just starts taking off all the stuff from the fridge. And they just kept recording. Because of Marvel.
Oh, absolutely.
When they saw how much money you can make off of superhero movies, everyone's let's jump on board.
Those are the movies that, have for the last, decades
decade.
Since Iron Man came out?
Dude, they always hit the billion mark.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I brought this up to Jonathan the other day. I said it half asleep when you were about to leave. The conspiracy idea that all these Marvel movies that we've seen in the past decade, right, since Iron Man, if we separate ourselves from those movies and you see what else was going on in the United States and all around the world, the reason these movies were so successful is because people were looking for an answer, a quick answer, where somebody, the answer was okay, you're either on one side or the other. And these heroes can save us. The answer is that simple. That's why they were so successful, because outside of everything else going on in the world, we were able to look towards these movies, and you see these extravagant heroes doing all these things that are the answer is as simple as there's the bad guy, and this is the hero we need to defeat evil, right?
I think that's how superheroes started, because I think...
Why would they be so popular right now?
Because Superman, I think they created it during...
World War
One. One of the wars, but it was a thing because it was earlier comic books, Superman and I think Captain America came around that time.
Mm-hmm.
they were fighting the Nazis mm-hmm. and they were fighting like all these other people because mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. wanted to believe in a superhero
that can answer everything like right away. Yeah, like
I mean, you look at I think it's Red Guardian who
Red Guardian?
Black Widow.
Yeah.
The movie that's supposed to come out, right? That Jeez. They keep delaying. So
that movie, I feel like it already came out.
Marvel, if you guys see this, come on. Get it together.
It's really weird that you bring it up. Yeah, I forgot about it.
So that, it's like, you guys seen the previews at least, right? Where it's like the bigger fat guy is wearing the red suit and it looks like Captain America.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
So, that was the Soviet, like, Captain America.
Their version, yeah.
And they did that during, like, the conflict. But mm-hmm. it's mostly all these things tied together. I mean, you look at, I think the Joker was created in 1939.
Oh, that one. Oh, okay.
Oh, come on.
I thought you were talking about Joaquin Phoenix. I thought you were talking about the Joaquin Phoenix.
It's a lot of those struggles that it's, like, during wartime where they kind of, like, or...
During the Cold War,
people get creative.
Oh,
the comic book industry like blew up during the Cold War because you couldn't actually have a war, so they were having a war in the comic book.
Right, and that's really interesting because like when I read this comment from somebody that was talking about these movies and the reason why they were so successful and like, I mean, billion-dollar movies, people are like going through something that says like, you know, we want our problems to be as simple as. That's a bad guy and we want to fix, we just need to defeat evil. But because right now everybody's pointing fingers at each other, right? It's difficult for like movies that are not that don't have a like a singular villain to succeed. Like Wonder Woman wasn't doing very good.
Look, Wonder Woman didn't, in my opinion, mm-hmm. didn't do very movie. Well was because, not the first one, sorry, the second one. Because the first one,
I thought it was great. Out of all their lineup,
I thought it was the best that they
The Wonder Woman movie was the reason why DC continued to make movies.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Correct.
Because it was so that successful. One actually did well. Everything else, I think.
Because after that, I think they made like Aquaman and all those.
Look at that billion-dollar movie.
You can't make Aquaman cool. You just can't. He has like an orange and green suit.
Because he's dark.
And he's
Momoan.
Never, I think. Oh, actually, no.
I said Momoan.
He's actually been one of the superheroes that kills.
He does kill, yeah.
Yeah, which they're not going to show in these films.
Why not?
They're children.
Look, it's not me. DC, if you're listening, kill some people.
Like what they did with Joaquin Phoenix, right? He kills two people.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he shoots two people.
Yeah, because DC has always... That's the worst part, DC can get away with it.
Well, so can Marvel.
No, they're not. Marvel can get away with it. However,
you just can't show blood.
Yeah, they don't really do it, right? But I think DC can definitely get away with it more because darker. They're darker.
Yeah, that's like, the whole point. That's why people I don't understand why people like to compare the two because just mm-hmm. enjoy both.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
But when they were comparing everyone that was going for DC was like, oh no, this is more adult theme. Marvel mm-hmm. is like for kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because of that,
their colors just pop a bit more than like DC.
Yeah.
However, they're really like DC is supposed to be darker, mm-hmm. but I mean, look at this. We have Iron Man and Batman in the same location.
Yeah, they can coexist. Okay.
They could coexist right here. Yeah, Why can't they coexist?
Yeah, yeah. No, I really like DC movies too. Like, I really want them to make more movies, like the Joker one. I want there to be that Batman, the Ben Affleck one, you know, in the movie Justice League. Or is it Batman versus Superman? Where he takes on a whole group of soldiers, mercenaries in the building. It's the best scene in the movie. He literally takes on like 10 dudes with guns. And you see Batman use all of his like his skills, right? And his gadgets to take out all of them. It looked so good. Something right out of a comic book.
That's why I'm kind of excited for the new one.
Correct.
I actually haven't seen any of them.
What do you mean?
Which ones?
Any DC movies besides Wonder Woman.
Oh, really? Oh, count yourself lucky.
I tried it. I started the Justice League, I think, twice.
So bad.
And it just doesn't make sense.
They did the opposite.
See, like if someone like
Marvel
you,
did. So Marvel
and I want to enjoy because I love
individual movies. So yeah. They Iron Man and then they tie them together. They put little pieces.
Yeah.
DC released the opposite. The Avengers first, so Justice League, and then went back and told their. And I'm like, that's not you don't. There's no investment in those characters.
Yet. Yeah. That's the big problem.
That's what happens. You would think that big business people would be like, you know what, let's work towards it. But when they're like, oh, look at the success of Avengers and all of that, let's go ahead and.
But they just jump right in and.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, there's the thing. They went for the quick buck because maybe Justice League made a lot of money in the first one, but after they saw it, they're like. We're done.
That's why they're doing the Zack Snyder.
You have to set it up.
You have to think out of like as a long investment. Like, yeah, maybe these aren't going to be as popular, but once
the which bigger one came out first, Wonder Woman or Justice League?
Justice League came out first.
Actually, yeah. Wonder Woman.
No, sorry, Batman versus Superman introduces Wonder Woman.
Yeah, they introduce it. You see, if they would have started with Wonder Woman,
they would have
been way better off, because that was a great movie. That's like, it will get me excited for whatever.
You know what's crazy?
I haven't even seen Justice League at all. I was thinking of Batman versus Superman, because even then, why do you start with Batman versus Superman? Just give each of them their own.
The worst part is that you should have built up to it, because that Batman versus Superman has been something that
everyone has wanted.
Yes. I mean, it was an I Am Legend in the back.
Yeah,
like it's something that you could have built up to. Get your audience first. And then put it out. You would have probably made more money than you.
They would have beat Marvel at their own game, because everybody understands that Batman, who has no powers, going up against a literal god, is, we know who wins, right? We know it's Batman who wins. Obviously,
I mean, I don't agree with that, but that's another.
But thing. The idea,
first of all, you see the logic.
Yeah, you've
seen it happen both in animated and. Now in live action. Yeah. It's just,
so can you
imagine what it is?
Superman could just blow up the earth and forget about it.
Literally.
But that's why Superman sucks.
Yes.
He's too nice.
He doesn't think about that.
He's too nice.
And they could have blown it out of the water. Like the idea that, see how good it could have been when humans are like, you know, let's make, obviously Superman is not a bad guy. He's supposed to be like the reincarnation of Jesus. But
I don't know if that's,
no, that's
what they went after when they were drawing this up. They were like, what, you know, what should we call the next Jesus?
Except he's American. Superman.
Be like, angels have wings, let's give him a bat.
And the idea that, like, it's a human versus, like, David versus Goliath story, and they fucked it up. Well, like you said, you try to watch the movie, and you feel like the scenes don't
I just don't mesh. Like it, because even if I see parts of it, like, they make a joke out of, like, when Wonder Woman comes out, and they're like, where'd she come out of?
Oh.
Like, they say it in the movie, where did she come out of?
Correct.
Yeah, and they're like, I thought she was with you.
Yeah, and I'm like, I thought she was with you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, don't make it a joke. Actually put investment so they knew each other before, and it actually makes sense.
Yeah, and what's dumb is that Batman plays stupid. He's like, oh, I thought she was with you. When he's the world's best detective, he knows who she is. He knows. But he's acting like, oh, I don't know who this bitch is.
Yeah, they try to put some humor in it.
Yeah, this is
not. Yeah, but it made them look dumb.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yes.
Because they didn't know how to do it. I mean, you look at Thor. The first two movies were kind of a dud.
But they end up being kind of good when you go back.
The third one.
The Ragnarok, because
they,
right?
Yeah, oh, they put some more, like, they put humor.
And they changed the way he looks.
I think the reason it worked was because Thor kind of belongs more with, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, I think after the Avengers, he goes with them,
right? He goes with them, yeah.
Yes.
His
attitude is really, like, bubbly and stuff. So, like, he can have fun with a group of people.
He's like Ditzy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
kind of. That's why it worked. Because in the first one, they did try to make him more serious.
Kind of dumb.
And even in the second one.
Yeah.
Like, once they finally were like, let's just make him...
Who he is.
Yeah. Grow up. Which is great, because you see, like, how bad the one, two, and then three, it's like he glows up. Right?
Yeah,
he literally glows up.
The third one is probably one of my favorite movies out of the Marvel movies.
You know who? It's because Taika Waititi did a great job. The director, the New Zealand director, he's a really good director.
Shout out to you.
Yes, I get it. You want to do things before you die, but what is this all about? I want to do things before
the
I turn 30.
That,
I want to do things before I turn 20. Like,
the problem is that you don't know when you're going to die.
Yeah, that, and I think once you get to a certain age, you might be like crippled.
Or you might have a family, true, and you're kind of like, I don't want to do this. Like,
that too.
Right, like I would understand, like, if I don't have a family, so owning a motorcycle for me would be like, okay, I could probably, I would like a motorcycle. Because it's a liability, right? You're more likely to be seriously injured on a motorcycle than in a vehicle. I'm not saying that they're the same.
There's more risk.
The risk is higher, right. I wouldn't maybe do skydiving if I'm like a grandpa or something. You know what I mean?
I think that's when I would want to do it the most.
Or because you're ready to die.
Yeah.
Okay, like, see, that's another thing, too.
I've already lived through it.
Because, like, what if... All right, that's a good point, actually.
If you die
I do agree
in the
with
air,
that. Yeah. As you fall?
It's easier for God to grab you.
It makes sense. Yeah. He'll pull the chute for you.
The thing, too, it's quick.
You think it's quick, but...
Well, you've been.
I've been skydiving, yeah.
A couple or more than...
Just once.
Just once?
And it's...
It's boring?
No, it's definitely not boring.
I mean, it must be boring because it's over
it
like in a minute.
It's not even scary.
Okay.
Like the scary part is like jumping. When you're in the airplane and when you're about to jump. As soon as you jump, there's too much going on for you to be scared. And then once you're doing it, it's like, You're like, oh shit,
I'm, you're already in it.
You don't, you can't think.
That's, there's a person on your back too, right?
Well, yeah, the first time
you're doing I got anxiety just thinking about it.
Oh, it's a great experience. I did it because I'm scared of heights.
Did you unlock anything?
So am I. But I refused. I was done after.
And it's like the greatest thing ever because after I did it, before I, you know this, I couldn't get on roller coasters. I was afraid of them.
Yeah.
After that, I was going on roller coasters like, this is boring.
Because, but you know, now, the fear of death is not there because you're strapped down to a machine.
Yeah, something. But yeah, it goes away too because after like 5 years from doing it, I went back to Six Flags or something. I got on a roller coaster. I was like, oh, I hate it again.
Yeah, it's the, your body just adapts to the...
Yeah, especially if you're going to roller coasters, because I'm not a big roller coaster, period.
Yeah. They're kind of... I've been on a couple of
them. I don't understand it.
The what? The roller coasters?
Roller coasters? Like, why would you want to do something that scares you? That's why I don't like scary movies.
Oh, it's so... Because for me, it's the same thing. I'm a big, like, no heights guy, but I love roller coasters, but it's for... It gives me a rush.
So it's like a... But it's like you're...
It's the anxiety and the rush that I
just don't. Enjoy. That's what I don't understand. Yeah, I understand the rush. I don't understand anxiety.
I'm sure that's what like a heroin addict feels right before he's about to insert the needle, like not that rush.
I do not believe it.
Because like true. If you can't, because you
that's want, more of excitement than it is a rush.
Like he's just ready. Like the vein is right there, and he misses the first one. He's like, oof, I gotta hurry up and get the next one before.
That's not how it works.
I wouldn't know. But I'm sure there's like a psychological effect
like
happening.
You thought about it, like you missed the first one.
Yeah, like you think about it.
What
like,
do you think? Like they just they don't even look. They just wrong one.
No, I think the rush is too much for them. They're just like, oh come on, let's go. And then
it's not a rush. It's almost like a need. So it's not anxiety. It's more of like it's.
I don't think no one ever does that the first time by themselves.
No, I don't believe.
And then after that, that's when it's. It's
almost everything. It's almost like substances, in general. Like nobody really has drank the first time
by themselves.
Yeah. It's always been like introduction, and then you move on to just.
I wonder what that first person who got drunk was like. You know what I mean? He's like
probably by accident.
Yeah, it was by accident. Right, it was. By accident.
Probably like a pineapple was fermented, and then they liked the idea.
Can you imagine getting drunk?
They're just curious.
Yeah,
like it's bad, and it's like oh, I'm hungry.
There's but then they else. Like the feeling. Then they're like, I'm gonna do that again.
And
like,
then how do we do that? Like, let's
figure this out. Yeah, that's really weird to me that like they had to figure out how to make beer.
How to make all these things.
Yeah, it's like fuck. Like I'm glad to be alive now because like just having to make.
I think we're still trying to figure things out.
I think we figured out most things. Yeah, advanced pretty good. Yeah, like well, you can't reinvent beer.
That's the shitty part about all of this going on. Like for restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine, like, a lot of people are like, they're like, oh, you have to build a patio if you want to have, no, you could have service, but it has to be outside.
Yeah. Correct.
So people are spending money to build patios and all this. Mm-hmm. And then without any, like, warning, they just.
Yeah, because you got to come up with a system. Obviously, the equipment to do it outside. And just kind of the rug pulled under you. Because once you set it all up and then it's like, actually, no, we're going back to just shutting down completely.
Yeah. I think there's a real flaw in all of that because we're regular ass people who can see through that because to us it doesn't make any sense, right? The idea that like we'll all be safer if we just stay home.
I mean, yeah, I agree. I mean, it makes sense.
But that's the thing,
have a plan. That's my point. Like, I think I was reading the LA Times when the whole second shutdown happened and all these business owners were talking about it. Restaurant business owners.
Mm-hmm. Okay, restaurant, yeah.
And most of them were like, they're playing with us because they're like, first, we have to shut everything down.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like takeout or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it was like, okay, you could have people inside. And then now you have to have people outside.
Mm-hmm.
So and then that's when a lot of them were like, okay, we don't have that commodity, so we have to spend money into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was I think it was in Hollywood, the one that I read, but they were like, yeah, I spent $2,000 to make a little patio outside, and I finished the patio.
Mm-hmm.
It was open for a week, and I can't even. Not only do I lose that money, but I also lose the money
that you could be bringing in
to reinvest.
Yes, yeah, no, Johnny. I've known you for a long time. We grew up together, basically, right?
Yeah.
Basically, and in that time, you know, we're relatively young people, and you served a little bit in the Marine Corps, and you mentioned that you were working at the time, right? Still before you left the service, right? You were
working as like a...
Before or after?
Before. What was your MOS, right?
Like in the military?
Yeah, in the military, yeah.
I was a... What is it? GSC? So it was like ground support equipment mechanic?
Ground support equipment mechanic, okay. And then like... for those of you listening, like, can you explain to us a little bit about what you did after you got out of the service with that experience, of course?
So basically, I got out with the intention of going to school.
Okay.
And becoming a mechanic.
Okay.
Mechanic and going to like business school.
Okay.
Both things that I've always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But literally like 2 months after I got out,
mm-hmm.
I was still getting my vacation pay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just doing Uber just because I was bored at home.
Yeah, you were figuring to pick up something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, once you get in the habit of working every single day and waking up at a certain time, mm-hmm. you could take vacation for like a week or something. But then after that, you're like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now what do you do now?
So after all that, I got a job overseas.
Okay.
For exactly what I was doing in the military, which was working on equipment that was for aircraft,
mm-hmm.
but it was at an airport in Kuwait
mm-hmm.
that a friend told me about, and mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I'll try it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved being hands-on and stuff, and so mm-hmm. it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there, I think, 2 or 3 months
mm-hmm.
when my dad called me, and they're mm-hmm. like, so little backstory on him. His whole life, he's been a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was doing, he's always had a tire shop and mm-hmm. everything. So when he had this third time, I believe it's his third business,
mm-hmm.
it's been doing good. He's been there for like 12 years, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were in high school still, right?
When he had it. When he had it, yeah.
Yeah, so he had it for a long time. And so the tire shop was connected to a mechanic shop.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls me and they're like, oh, they're selling it. And I was like, okay.
And that's a good answer.
Yeah. No, well, I don't know what to say, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, because in my mind, I was like, yeah, that's what I want. But it's kind of too soon. At the time, I think I was like 23.
24.
I was 23.
Right, because, oh yeah, 23? Right, yeah, because I was...
Yeah, because I was...
Right, because I was 20.
Well, it's his life, so I would think that he would know.
Now you're right, yeah, because I was just remembering.
Yeah, because I joined the military mm-hmm. at 18, got out 5 years after 23.
Yeah, that's like a college experience. Right?
Yeah, and I was like, I never expected to have a business at 23 years old.
Yeah.
It's like a lot to manage. And I wanted a little more experience in it.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing happened, and they were just talking about it, and they're like, well, yeah, they don't want that much. Like, do you want to? So over there, I was making really good money. I always had money saved, and I was like, well, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Did my little resignation letter, moved mm-hmm. back here,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm a owner of a mechanic shop.
Right. And that decision right there to say, hey, you know what? Let's do it, because you said it yourself. You're like, I feel like I don't have enough experience. I feel like maybe I won't be able to do this. Did you think to yourself, you're like, you know what, maybe was it like a leap of faith, or were you sure? You're like, you know what, this, I could make this work. Did you have any doubts, is what I'm asking?
I think you always have doubts.
Really?
No matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, joining the military was probably the biggest doubt of my life.
Interesting. But
it's uh-huh. I had doubts, but I also... If I didn't believe in myself, I wouldn't have done it.
Okay.
And my whole life, I've like been practicing.
Interesting.
Like I've always, that's my thing since I was a kid. So in high school, I always did Saturday classes where I was doing mm-hmm. mechanic classes and
mm-hmm.
all that.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the military, even though I was a mechanic, I stepped out of my comfort zone
mm-hmm.
and took another job where I was more into computers.
Okay.
Which honestly, I can't stand.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, if one day I'm going to own a business,
mm-hmm.
I need to...
You kind of got to know those things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was like, I just want to see if I could do it, because if mm-hmm. I can't do it here,
mm-hmm.
then I'm not even going to try out in the real world.
Yeah. Interesting. And how long have you been running your tire shop now for?
I've been there for 4 years now.
Next month.
I turn 4 years.
That 4 years doesn't seem like a long time, I'm sure, to you. I'm sure it must have gone by like that.
Yeah.
And for when you first started, did you feel like, you know what, this is going to be fun? Or did you think to yourself, you're like, I need to figure out what the fuck I'm doing, because this was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be?
I think it started as it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then it quickly became, this is a lot harder than I thought.
Interesting. What were some of the, like, the more difficult things to do in getting the business going? Like, it's one thing to be like, okay, we want to buy the place and I want to run it. What was something you yourself had to be like, okay, I have to make sure I don't fall behind on this, or I make sure that I'm on top of that?
I think the biggest thing is, until you become a business owner, I think especially here in California.
Interesting.
And LA specifically, mm-hmm. you don't understand how much bills you have to pay. Because mm-hmm. in my head, I was like, oh, I just got to pay the rent. And I got to pay my employees.
And the
small bills.
The utilities, know? Right? Yeah.
And then you come here and you're like, no, you got to pay California taxes.
Correct.
You got to pay the city taxes.
Correct.
You got to pay the permits for, like, all the licenses that you have.
Right. That's for business licenses. You have to make sure they're up to date.
You got to pay for, like, the disposal fees for all the other stuff.
Correct.
You got to pay
for the sanitation and stuff, too.
Sanitation. Yeah. Then they hit you with, like, all these other bills that are, like...
Or is your building up to code and shit?
Exactly. Yeah. So when they come to code and they come to inspect, they charge you to inspect.
Correct, yeah.
Like, I don't want them to come inspect. Please don't come, but... They have to, yeah, right. And they charge you.
Yes, for the service, right? Because they're...
Yeah, so they come, like, for the fire extinguishers and, like, the building and safety. Correct, and all, like, everything. So all those little bills, they pile up, and you're like...
You're like, oh, shit, like, this is... How am I going to make it?
Exactly.
And at any point did you feel like, man, I made a mistake, I should never have agreed to this?
Yeah, I had that thought a couple of times.
Do you feel like... everybody you've come across that is like, oh, I want to start a business of my own. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like maybe they know what they're talking about? Or do you feel like they're just doing it because they can see someone doing it and they're like, oh, I could do that?
I mean, it depends. Mm-hmm. Like, every person is different. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if someone random came, mm-hmm. I'd want to hear, like, the way they talk. Because mm-hmm. I think that says a lot about a person. Mm-hmm. So if I'm over here, if they're just talking and it sounds like, it's coming out of their ass. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, just be careful. Mm-hmm. And whenever someone tells me that, I'm not going to be an asshole and be like, no, you can't make it.
Interesting.
Because I would hate it if someone told me that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, if you want to do it, just know that there's mm-hmm. a lot to it. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's not only the nice things that you see, mm-hmm. like from afar, mm-hmm. but once you're in it, just mm-hmm. know that you got to be working a lot mm-hmm. of hours. And I kind of knew that before going into it. Mm-hmm. Because I did take classes, mm-hmm. like small classes. Mm-hmm. And when we had like people come over like with their businesses and talk about it, they're like, oh, having a business is like having a baby. You're going to mm-hmm. be there 12 to 15 hours every single day. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but for the first 2 years, be prepared to not make any money and even be at a loss. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So all of this stuff I kind of knew into mm-hmm. it, but people that don't know that, mm-hmm. that's why I think... I don't know if the number's still accurate because this was like 5 years ago, mm-hmm. but I think it's like 60% of businesses don't make it through their first 2 years mm-hmm. because they're not informed of this and mm-hmm. they're not prepared.
Correct.
Yes. So there you gotta do two things to be a business person, I think. Mm-hmm. One, you gotta be prepared, but you also gotta be willing to jump the gun. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people at the same time you're too cautious mm-hmm. and that's a bad thing.
They got one foot in the door and one out.
Yeah, and I don't know. No, they don't want to get in the foot. They don't want to put that foot in the door. Uh-huh. And that's the big problem. They're like, oh, I've always wanted to have my business or whatever. And it's like sometimes you just got to take that leap of faith. Because mm-hmm. until you don't do that, you don't know where you're going to be at.
Yeah, I think that goes for a lot of things. Like a lot of times it's just a matter of starting it, right?
Yeah.
It's like with this podcast, mm-hmm. it was really just a matter of like, let's just start it.
And see where it goes.
And see where it goes, right. And you're absolutely right about the little things that come with wanting to do something, because people do see on the outside, they're like, oh, he's running the business, everything looks great. But really, the idea of being a business owner is that you, right, those tips, right, those are concrete. Like, you should have savings of up to a year.
And I think it's like 2 years of savings.
Basically, now it should be with everything going on. And you should be able to understand that, like, if it doesn't work out, then you need to have a backup.
I don't think it's that. Yes, but at the same time, I think, I don't know, I've heard this quote somewhere, mm-hmm. and sorry if it's not, like, exact, but it's like, you can't be afraid of failure, because if you're afraid of failure, you're not going to get anywhere. So it's okay to fail. It's better to fail a dozen times and then one time be successful mm-hmm. than never try it at all, and you're still not going to be successful.
Yes.
And I think I got that from my dad, because, like I told you, this is his third shop that he's had. Mm-hmm. And this is the one that actually
is working. Yeah.
It's working. So he didn't give up after the first recycle. And it's like, maybe if I didn't see that myself, I would have been more hesitant. Because I was like, fuck, if it doesn't work out, then I'm screwed. But I've seen how he's bounced back before. And I was like, well, if he could do it, then why can't I?
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. That's, you know, seeing that sort of like that mentorship, that sort of like that hardship that you can see like a parent or a mentor go through.
Yeah.
And it really shows you that, okay, it's not as easy as doing it once and then going with it. Like it, like you said, it could be the case that you fail multiple times. But if you keep working at it and you're not and you're improving on the things that made you fail prior to that, then yeah, you will eventually get there. Because a lot of the times people don't care about what you did in the beginning, right? Yeah. They care a lot about where you are at the end.
Yeah, they see the fruits of the labor, but they don't see
the labor that you put into the fruit. Now, you say it's been about 4 years now in business. How has the pandemic affected your business in any way? You're not a restaurant, a bar. No, you don't sell food.
I'm considered an essential business.
You're considered an essential business. Yeah. Okay, why is that?
Because people need cars no matter what. I mean, even think about it. Even if you're not going to, most people are not going to work because they're not considered an essential business, which is a completely other topic. But if you need to get to the hospital too because you're sick, or you need to, these actual like people working in hospitals, they need to get to work, or policemen or anything like that, their cars still break down.
Correct.
If you're going shopping, your cars break down. Another thing that a lot of people don't know is that if you leave your car sitting for a long time, it breaks down, because they're not meant for that. They're meant for
to be used. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're not using it at all, it's going to break down. So luckily, that's why we've been able to be open.
Interesting. And were you afraid in the beginning when you saw that all these businesses were closing down?
Oh, yeah.
What was going through your mind?
I was like, this is probably going to be it. Because even then, I remember when the first wave hit, I was watching CNN, I think, and I was just watching the TV, and we were waiting for the announcement. And then I was at work till like 8 p.m., and I was just looking, because they were giving updates. And then finally, they made a list of like the restaurant or the places that couldn't be open, mostly restaurants and like nail salons and all of that.
Yeah.
And when I didn't see my shop, I was like, I told my dad, I was like, I think we could open tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we opened, but we were scared to, because we're like, what if we get fined? What if
you kill somebody on accident?
It wasn't even a kill, but I was just worried about the police is going to come over here. They're going to shut me down. And not only am I not going to have work, but
they're going to shut you down permanently.
They're going to shut me down permanently. They're probably going to give me like a ticket or something. If I couldn't afford it back then, how am I going to afford it now that we don't have any work?
Yeah, no business. Yeah. Yeah. That is crazy, Johnny, that, you know, you feared that because of something that was out of your control, your life would have been upended, because I'm sure you have a lot invested in the business. Well, now you pretty much do, right? It's like your life now.
Well, yeah. I mean, not even talking about money wise. Think about it. I've been there for, at the time, 3 years. Feels just like think about the time that you've invested into it that suddenly is just lost because of something you can't even control. I think it's different when it's something that you did and you know you're at fault for.
Right.
But when you have no control over it, I can only imagine how it is for other people that have lost it.
It's so easy for us to talk about it, right? To say like, oh, we see it happening to other businesses and stuff. But we really do not understand like the scale of which millions of people across the country really are losing everything they have.
Yeah.
Over restrictions that are not, and this is, you know, which we do know for sure are not scientifically backed. Johnny, what would you say to anybody out there who is looking to have their own small or regular business in these times right now? Like, what's something you would, like, do you feel like you could give advice to somebody?
Well, I think the first thing is, no matter what, enjoy it. Interesting. Like, it has to be something you enjoy.
Okay.
Because honestly, there's a lot of businesses opening up right now, and they're being very successful. What? Like, small ones, but there's like, okay, when the restaurants shut down, I don't know if you've been on like Instagram, but they sell food everywhere now. Like everyone's doing like the little
remote working from home shit. Yeah.
And And if you have to start that small, then do it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. But it has to be something you enjoy. These people, I'm pretty sure that if they didn't enjoy cooking and they just did it for the money, it wouldn't be...
good food.
Exactly. Yeah. And if it's not good food, you're not going to have service.
It's a bit of a hustle, really. I see it like what's happened like during this whole pandemic. Like some people are like, oh, you're just sitting on your ass all day. But I think other people are not seeing it as an opportunity to take advantage of what you have at home. Like if you have a computer, you're a smart person. You can do a lot with a computer. The issue is that there is this idea that like, oh, I'm wasting my time because I'm doing it from scratch. And it's like I want it to happen already overnight. And I'm sure that happens a lot.
That's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. People want that like quick satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And that's never going to work out.
No, for sure.
It's not. I mean, it might at first. You'll get that quick buck. Mm-hmm. But then after that, no consistent? One's going to trust you. Yeah, like mm-hmm. it's like I think that's one of the big things with my business. Mm-hmm. Where I've heard a lot of customers be mm-hmm. like, oh, I don't trust mechanics because mm-hmm. they always try to rip me off.
Oh, yes, please. I wanted to ask about that. Like, what's the biggest stigmas around you owning a mechanic shop? Like, what is it that some people, like, come in and try to do?
Well, they all come worried. I mean, new customers. Mm-hmm. I think existing customers, they see that that's not how we are. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. That's what I try to change for my business. That's, like, my little motto. Like, mm-hmm. I want it to be to where you didn't trust them. I want to know why. Mm-hmm. And once they tell me, the biggest reason is because they're like, they're selling me stuff that I don't even need. Mm-hmm. They're just ripping me off with this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like if they see me by myself and they know that I don't know anything about cars, that's like,
they grab them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and in my head, I've always thought about it. I was like, honestly, anyone could do that. And the same thing works. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you'll get them and you might rip them off for like $1,000 or something.
Right.
But then you lose that customer forever.
They're never coming back, yeah.
So it's that quick satisfaction, whereas if you actually take care of them and you treat them like family, then they're like, yeah, I'm not making a huge money off of them right now. And honestly, I don't even see it as making money off of them. I actually enjoy what I do, mm-hmm. and I enjoy helping people. Mm-hmm. So when I see that their car is fixed and they're like, especially when they're like, oh, I have to get to work or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm fixing it and they seem happy about it.
Yeah.
And they trust me to where they don't have to like, like my thing with new customers, with any customers, but mm-hmm. mainly new customers that I do is all the parts that we replace, mm-hmm. I keep them. I always tell them I kind of keep them on the side. Mm-hmm. And then when the customer comes in, almost no one asked for them, but I was like, oh, they're like, how did it do or whatever. And I try to like educate them. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, why did we have to replace this? And I'm like, oh, because of this and this. And I was like, I actually have the old parts back there if you want to see them. Mm-hmm. And people are curious. Mm-hmm. People want to know. So when they're like, yeah, I go back and I show them. I was like, we replace this because of this. We replace this because of that.
I like that a lot about your shop. The idea that you are not trying to trick anybody into telling them like, oh, your car needed a whole new transmission.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, but we have your extra transmission right here if you really want to see what was wrong with it. I do like that you're changing the stigma behind that. You know, the idea that mechanics are these people who are looking to make a quick buck off you or upsell you on something that you don't need.
Because there's a lot of places where they work off of commission, which mm-hmm. is something that I don't do. Mm-hmm. Mainly because, I mean, one, we don't have a big enough shop to where I have like a receptionist or anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm the one that deals with customers. Mm-hmm. But even when I did for a certain time before all this happened, mm-hmm. I didn't tell them like, oh, you upsell this and I'm going to pay you more. Mm-hmm. Because then they're going to...
try and upsell.
They're going to try to upsell, and then they're going to put my reputation on the line.
Yeah. Because they're going to name drop you, and anytime they're like, well, my boss or this person is the one telling me to make sure...
I don't think it's name dropping, but like, if it's my business, mm-hmm. My name's always going to be involved. Mm-hmm. So if something happens with the car, they're not going to go to the mechanic. They're not going to go to the receptionist. Mm-hmm. They're going to go to me to see why... what the problem is.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. I think being good looking also helps, right? Because you're not like... you don't look like a stereotypical mechanic.
I don't know about good looking, but...
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot to go there.
I think... what is it? Like, being presentable, mm-hmm. that is a big aspect. No one's going to go to a shop that's dirty. That's run down.
Yeah.
And me, that I'm... like, the first person they see, I'm going to be all messy.
Yeah.
Even if I'm being a mechanic... and I'm doing that kind of stuff and I'm getting dirty, I make sure that I clean myself up at least a little mm-hmm. bit. So mm-hmm. when I do see a customer, I'm not just...
Yeah, and your skin color helps a lot too, you know? They look at you, they're like...
with what, the grease?
No, I mean, like, because you're a lighter shade of of brown or whatever.
What's that supposed to mean?
That people are judgmental. They look at you, they're like, oh, it's not a Hispanic Mexican looking ass. You know what I mean? It's a
white, I get that all the
tall
time.
Tall looking, good looking person.
I do get stereotypes all the time.
Cause they,
and it annoys me a little bit, but I think that fuels like my desire more. Because you see it all the time. I mean, you're always going to see racist people. I mean, you were in the military. You saw it.
Yeah, a lot. And I work with him, so yeah. I see it.
But yeah, yeah, like you all the time. So I've had people come over and like they have an issue or whatever, mm-hmm. and they're like, "I want to speak to the manager or the owner." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "I am the owner." They're like, "No, I really want to speak to the owner." And I was like, "Just get out of here, then. If you don't want to speak to me, then get out." But in the moment, it pisses me off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Afterwards. I'm like, I'm blessed to be in a position where most of like
young people,
young and our demographic are able to have this job because you don't see it that often. And that's why these people are
confused
the way they are.
Yeah. Because they wouldn't expect a young person to be working.
Yeah, that's first. Yeah. I used to hear that a lot. Like, oh, you own it? Like, you're very young. And then
they're like, how? It's like
young is just kind of losing its meaning. No, it's not losing its meaning. It's just not as rare as it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Like a young person owning their business is not as rare, I said, like as mm-hmm. it used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, especially 2020 has taught us that.
Not only that, but
can start there.
Yeah.
But like in the military, there's a big percentage of military that own businesses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think out of all the small businesses, the military, like veterans, is veteran-owned mm-hmm. businesses is a big portion of it too.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And most of them start, I'm guessing, young because most people are in for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
When you get out, I'm pretty sure that's the first thing they do.
That's interesting. Yeah, a lot of them, I'm sure, talk about making their own thing, right? Doing their own thing.
I think the military helps you out a lot in that because from a young age, you have to be a leader.
Mm.
I mean, as long as you're not a screw up. But if you're actually doing what you're supposed to and you're going up the ranks, you're mm-hmm. always going to have people under you. Mm-hmm. So even though you don't have a business in the military, it's like you're always looking.
And as a managerial kind of type
exactly.
of thing.
You're doing that and also puts you in a bubble where you're kind of never in charge mm-hmm. really of something. There's always someone above you mm-hmm. where it's like it's the desire of like, I want to do things my way. Mm-hmm. So when they get mm-hmm. out, they're like, I want to be in charge of me
yeah.
mm-hmm. and not have someone tell me what, especially when you're not blessed with good
higher
leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, I know now where they went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I want to do things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of, it's a very good, if you look at it that way, instead of being like, oh, they're fucking me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And instead of being like, now I know what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then it actually sets you up for it. And
I
throw
think that's
you,
the sad part about the military, because, well, at least for the Marines, that everyone that thinks that way gets out. And
yep.
and the people mm-hmm. that really do want a change, the people that are like the shitty leaders sometimes, they stay there
because
they know that they can't
get that kind of leadership outside of
they
can't treat
get away
people
with
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you can't, they can't, yeah.
And the people that are trying, and like, I think people, I mean, I'm not saying all leaders are bad because some do
yeah.
stay,
yeah.
but a lot of them, they're like, I want to stay and I want to change it. But we're talking about like 15, 20 years that I have to get to that position.
To put
and
out
I
was like, bullshit and all
even
that stuff.
I've seen people that I've had friends that they stay, they do another 4 years because they do want to change. And it suddenly gets to you like, I've tried, but I just can't deal with it. Like their bullshit. Their ignorance. They're just stupid.
Interesting. That's interesting. I've felt that way before when it comes to following certain rules, but I can understand why, because I've met somebody who was in the Air Force and I asked him, I just struck up a conversation with him because he wanted, because I asked him, I'm always curious as to why people leave, and the idea was that he was tired of being told what to do. Like, he wanted full control over himself.
I don't know.
That was that. I'm summing it
for
up.
For him,
I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, because for him, he came home and he was telling me, he's like, yeah, I just wanted to start doing whatever I wanted. He's not really doing anything right now. But from what I got from him, right, because he had let his hair grow out.
Yeah.
He looked really lanky, like as if he wasn't working out anymore. I could tell he was fed up with following orders or whatever that had to do with, like,
whatever came with the job.
I don't think there's an issue with following orders. I think there's an issue with following orders that you think are...
It's stupid, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's the thing. Like, honestly, I loved it. You served...
It's a little over seven. So, yeah, two enlistments.
Yeah. Two enlistments, yeah.
Thank you for your service. Do you guys hate that when like you weren't you I haven't do. Even seen combat and like I, they're like
well, it has nothing well, it has a I little to do with combat for me
yeah.
But the other thing is just I didn't it, there's a pride in serving
mm-hmm.
that I find, but it's more internal. I don't need somebody to tell me.
I understand
I
that.
Don't mind it if they mean it from a
good place.
A good yeah place.
Most but people just do it around, just to do it like oh mm-hmm. everybody else is doing it so I'm gonna tell you
that happens,
I don't
yeah.
need I don't need that
for the me. Validation yeah, yeah. It was one time you came back from boot camp and you had on your little white hat. What yeah. is it? What are they called? That suit? It's like the Freshies
blues.
Or something?
The Blues.
The Blues. The Freshies? You guys always have some weird name for like outfits. Booties, Freshies, whatever. What
are you booties? Thinking of kids?
No.
Like what are kid outfits?
Not the booties. Not are the little socks.
Onesies?
What are they called? The short shorts. The ones I wanted. I wanted
skivvies.
Skivvies. Yeah, I wanted some skivvies.
I was like either that or silkies.
Silkies. Or silkies. What are silkies? Underwear?
So they're the no, same, but there's two materials. So.
Yeah, the shorts is just they're very.
They just cover your private area, is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, essentially, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like lifeguard.
Yeah, equally. Yeah, I wanted some for a while because they look like fun to wear, to jog. But then I saw guys actually wearing them. I'm like, oof, probably not.
No,
probably not. I can see why that you guys only wear them in there.
It's because.
Because it's too embarrassing like, to wear outside.
They're like the gayest straight man you'll ever meet.
Yeah,
yeah, I hear that, and it's the most racist, non-racist place. Also,
it varies. It does. I've had. I actually made really good friends with someone in the military,
uh-huh.
and they were racist, like super racist. Like, not only them, but when their mom too, and like that's where they came out of.
Yeah,
that's how they were raised. Yeah,
and it wasn't until we got. Deployed to Kuwait that we were forced to a room, and before that we were in tents. We got lucky that we actually got a room, so it was four of us in a room, two bunk beds. In the room it was me, him, he was white, there was another white guy, and then the my bunk bed he was like from Guam or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or the island right next to Guam, I forget the name.
Puerto Rico?
No.
No, that's not an island.
But anyway,
uh-huh. yeah.
since there was only four of us, mm-hmm. and because of how hard we were working 12-hour shifts,
mm-hmm.
so and we only had a little bit of time in the room,
mm-hmm.
like we had to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like at first he didn't talk to us,
mm-hmm.
and I guess he didn't get along with the other white guy, so he started talking to us.
Infighting, like they're fighting
themselves. I don't know if they're fighting, but they just didn't click.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we started mm-hmm. hanging out, and we got along. And then take it back, we get out of that deployment, we come back, and now we're good friends.
Hey.
But before that, we didn't. He only hanged out with like his white friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything of it, but it wasn't until after. And he told me straight up, he was like, honestly, I never liked anyone else, but you guys are all right. And that's when we started hanging out, and we had that conversation. We hanged out after work and everything, and it's like a nice thing, but... I think racism is just ignorance, basically.
Absolutely.
True. It does work. It
you
does
hear all these things about other people, and so you stay away from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully, I'm hoping to have, you know, some diverse children someday.
Okay, with that.
No, yeah, but...
Thank you, Johnny, for joining us. And,
oh, yeah.
You
before...
know, with the absence of Grinch.
Oh, thank you for coming
on. No, yeah, thank you so much, Jonathan Castaneda, for having us. Do you want to go ahead and just... tell people where they can find you on any kind of social media. Do you have a business media account or you know, a business number or some where can they find you?
Well, my business is in Los Angeles, close to Culver City. It's called United Automotive Repair Center, and that's pretty much it. But if I'm pretty sure you'll have my contact information.
Yep, we'll of leave course. It down in the description.
Yes, and we do appreciate you coming on, Jonathan. We know that time right now is difficult, especially with all kinds of businesses everywhere, and we do appreciate you coming in.
Well, I really appreciate you for having me, and
thank you again so much, Jonathan.
Well, that's been another episode of the RDG show. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a like and a comment below. Also, hit the notification button so you don't miss out on any of our latest content. You can follow us on Twitter and all audio platforms where podcasts are available. As always, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.